Hello, and welcome to the Embracing a Simpler Life podcast. This is the podcast that helps you throw off the things that hold you back so you can pursue Christ with all you've got.
It's Christmas time, people, and we're going to talk about Christmas. That's right. We love Christmas. I love Christmas. Katie loves Christmas. Confirm that, Katie.
Yes, I love Christmas.
And there is a reason that we love Christmas, and we want to talk about one reason that we love Christmas here today, and that reason is giving gifts. We like to give gifts, and I think we like it more now than we did when we first got married. True or false?
True.
All right, so the reason for all of this is we got married a not very long ago, and we moved to St. Louis, and we were church shopping, if you will. We found this great church. We started going to it. Very soon after that, they started talking about this thing called Advent Conspiracy. And Advent Conspiracy is really cool and really took it to heart. And so there's four tenets to Advent Conspiracy. It's this movement that a bunch of churches are participating in. Number one, worship fully. The reason that we have Christmas, the reason for the season is Jesus. There's no denying it. And we as Christians should absolutely fully celebrate that and acknowledge that and love on that. Let's not forget why we're all here, why we're celebrating. That's number one. Number two, during this Christmas season, let's spend less. We're spending so much of our money on these presents. We're creating debt. We're creating clutter. We're just getting more stuff. And instead of doing that, let's spend less money on those gifts. And number three, let's give more. So we're going to give more from our gifts, even though we spend less. That's hard to do. The way you do that is make gifts that are very personal, make gifts that are relational, make gifts that are intentional and specific to the person that you're giving the gift to. And if you can do those things, you can give a gift that's worth much more. And tenet number four is to love all. And love all means we'll take some of that money that we spent less for Christmas, and we're going to still spend some of that money, but we're going to give it to those who are in greater need than we are. As Americans, a lot of us are very blessed and very privileged to have an excess. And let's take some of that and be able to give that to people that have less than us. And there's all kinds of great organizations out there and great people that are doing this. But one that really became important to us through our church in St. Louis was an organization called Living Water International. And what Living Water International does is they build clean water wells for people all over the world at this point. So people that do not have access to clean water, they get sick off their water, they go in, they build a well for them, and then they can drink clean water.
Think about all the negative aspects of the Christmas season. The stress of being busy, the financial strain of finding the money to buy all the presents that we're expected to buy, and also picking out gifts for people when we don't know what they like. And we're pretty much just throwing money down the tubes to feel like we can extend a gift where we're expected to extend one.
It can be an extremely stressful season, just thinking about all that you have to do. You just feel like you have to do so much and create gifts for everybody.
All the shopping, wrapping the presents, baking the Christmas cookies, putting up the tree, decorating the house, maybe making a big family meal, hosting people. Yes, there can be a lot of stressful things about it. Now imagine all that stress basically being dissolved into something holy, something worshipful, something simple, something relationship focused. And that is really what Advent Conspiracy has done for us in our lives. It has honestly made Christmas the most worshipful time of the year for me. I have really taken the time every single year to let it soak in that God, the awesome creator of all things, all powerful, all knowing God, became a baby. He entered into this story, into suffering, to identify with us, to save us. It is significant beyond comprehension, and there is a place for this extreme worship and awe, just like the shepherds experienced, just like the wise men experienced. And these players in the story probably had a hard time understanding very much, but they were so overwhelmed by what they did know, even though this whole life hadn't played out yet. God was manifested in a baby. So we've learned to worship. We've learned to spend less money so that we're not taxing ourselves financially, but instead we're giving very simple, special gifts. And we get to see how meaningful those gifts truly are. And then we have experienced the joy of giving to ministries that are supporting people who don't have even their most basic needs met. And that is truly an inexplainable blessing, to be able to find the money to do that at this time of year. It just means so much to us. And that's why we wanted to record this podcast. And we want to give you very specific ideas for how you can redeem Christmas gift giving in your own home.
Our first example is our own example, and that is, how do we give gifts to our children? And we give gifts to our children by being as intentional as we can. Now, they're only 2, 4, and 6 years old. So what is important to them at this stage in life doesn't really always feel super important in light of eternity, but we are picking out gifts that are very specific for our children that make sure they enjoy and love what we're giving them. And we're also limiting what we're giving them. So we're only giving them one gift per kid, and we're giving them a gift that they're going to love and cherish. And generally that works out. So usually that is the gift that they seem to enjoy throughout the rest of the year more than any other gift that they get on Christmas. And that comes from knowing our kids. And we've spent a lot of time with them, and we know their characteristics. We know what they are passionate about, which when you're 4 can be a monster truck, but that's just the way it is. And so we pick out these gifts that we can cater to them and make sure that we're really showing our love to them by what we're giving them and not just giving them more stuff.
Yes, we really have reasons for why we do things this way. And I think this is true for any parent, but we keep very much at the forefront. The reason we're giving our children a gift at Christmas is because we want to express our love to them, and we want them to feel loved. So in order to feel loved, they are going to need to feel seen and known. It's going to need to be a gift that's based on knowledge and relationship. And we do put a lot of thought into that, but we also want our children to have a heart of gratitude and appreciation. And that's really why we don't shower them with 35 presents that they're going to open. Instead, we're giving them one thing. It's wrapped, it's under the tree. It's from us, not Santa. That was important to us because the reason that we're giving it is to support relationship and to show our love for them. So it would be important for them to know who the gift is from, to understand that it is our love that motivated that gift and our sacrifice, even as we spend money on these things. That's our approach, and it's certainly not wrong to give your kids more gifts, but I think it's really important to keep a pulse on how is this affecting their heart? Is it having a very positive impact on them, the way that you're doing Christmas, or do you see a negative impact? Do you see ingratitude or letdown or something like that after the holidays? It might be something to consider. Those are things that really motivated us in our decision to only give our children one gift.
So that's how we give gifts to our kids. We also give gifts to our parents every year. And something that's really cool that we do with them is we give them a calendar. It's such a cool calendar. Why is it so cool?
Because it has pictures of our kids and our nieces and nephews all over it.
So Katie spends a lot of time, and I can't take any credit for this, but she spends a lot of time putting together these really cool calendars for our parents. That is something they cherish every year because they get to see these awesome pictures of their grandkids. And
it's really nice because honestly, it has simplified our gift giving so much because my brother and sister also want a copy of the calendar. So I spend quite a bit of time gathering photos, designing the calendars up front in November. And then on Black Friday, I order them. And pretty much all of our gift giving is taken care of because we don't give five gifts per person. We give one thing that's simple. And it's at this point, it's a calendar. Everybody has expressed they would really like to continue receiving their yearly calendar. Fantastic, because I know that it shows relationship, it shows love, it's simple, and it's not terribly expensive. And I don't have to go out and get trampled on Black Friday.
But it's something that you spent time on, and it's something that they know you spent time on, and they appreciate that and really enjoy that. So that's what makes it so meaningful and so cool. Another thing we wanted to talk about was giving relationally, and Katie mentioned that word relationship. And so giving relationally could be something like, I want to give a gift that allows us to spend more time together. So maybe you give your dad a pound of coffee and then he puts it in the cupboard and it's sitting next to his 20 other pounds of coffee. And you say, how that's a relational gift. I don't know. That is a relational gift because that daughter could say, Dad, you can only drink this coffee with me. And now that gift goes from being something that's almost meaningless to something that's completely meaningful and soaked in so much of God's love. It's really cool because they have to drink that coffee and they can only drink it when they're spending quality time together.
Another example for how to give a relational gift might be giving a board game that you can only play with other people in your household, or it might be giving tickets to an event that you're going to attend together. I think coupons are also can be really fun relational gifts. Mitch has given me a couple of coupons throughout our marriage, and they weren't always low cost. I will tell you that. One of them was a coupon for a surprise vacation that was yet to be planned. And we ended up going to Boston together for several nights. It was really fun and just really important time for us to reconnect together as a married couple. And another year, he gave me a coupon for a family photo shoot because he knew that it was important to me to have pictures of our family for me to cherish and display. And he doesn't normally like to be in pictures. So that was a gift on more levels than the outside observer might know. It was more just him saying, I will do this for you.
That's true. And one more thing I'll say about giving relationally is relationship is the goal here. So if you can just give a gift that's based on your relationship with something, maybe it's a inside joke that's really meaningful to that person or whatever it might be. Hopefully you know that relationship and you can spend some time thinking about it, but you can tell when a gift is really thought out and somebody invested some brain power and really figuring out what they were going to get you versus they tried to find something that was cheap and on sale and just and give that to you. So try to find those relationships that you really cherish. And if you can figure out a way to express that with a gift, then maybe consider doing it. And that might can involve some time and some thought, but it could mean a lot.
Can it be difficult to transition from just kind of the normal consumeristic American gift giving that we know in our society to something that is simpler, lesser, and more special? It can be because your recipients have certain expectations. And it can be tough at first, but it will be worth it in the long run. We did this. We have done this over the years. And I remember the first year we really wanted to set the expectations. So we made it known to like our siblings and parents and whatnot. We will be spending $10 per family on a Christmas gift. And that was just honestly a stretch, even for us to do that for where we were financially at that point in our lives. But we wanted to do something. So it helped us to make that known ahead of time so that we weren't giving a $10 gift and receiving like a $100 gift. We didn't want that to happen. It's okay if it happens if they know in advance, but we didn't want anybody to be caught off guard by that. And everybody was completely fine and understanding. But even if you don't set the expectation up front, it's okay to release yourself from expectations. It's okay to rethink the way you want to do Christmas and maybe have some tough conversations. It's okay. I really want to give you that permission because I know some of you are probably freaking out on the inside a little bit at the thought of not meeting the expectations that everybody has for the amount of gifts that you're supposed to give to all the children in your extended family, etc. It's okay. It might be tough, but it will be worth it, not just for you, but for everyone.
And not everybody might understand why you're giving the kind of gifts that you're giving or what you're doing, but it's a great way to start some conversations around that and really discuss with people. Maybe you have non-Christians in your family that just really don't understand what you're doing or why you're doing. And so that's also an opportunity where you can challenge yourself to use that as a way to talk about God with them or about your story and where you went to arrive at this place.
Or maybe God is giving you a ministry of giving gifts. And you do have a lot of people that you feel like you are supposed to give gifts to as a way to love them, as a way to open doors in their lives or to pave the way for a relationship or to gain favor with them through giving gifts. So how can you redeem gift giving if you really don't have much relationship to base the gift giving on to begin with? So it's going to be hard to give relationally. Can you still give redeemed Christmas gifts, even if you're giving widely to a lot of people? And yes, absolutely. The fact that your motivation is to love people and just to take down barriers in their lives for the purpose of relationship, not so they'll like you. It's not about you, but so that you can love them and help lead them more to Jesus by the way that you are living. That's awesome. So I just have a few ideas that I really like for redeeming Christmas gift giving, even if you want to continue giving a lot of gifts. So for one, if you're going to spend the money anyway, why not buy gifts that give hope to others in the name of Jesus? And what I'm talking about is fair trade, and not just any fair trade. There are many organizations that are working with people in extreme poverty around the world in the name of Jesus. They are giving them the gospel, and they are also giving them dignified employment through artisan crafts. So they teach them how to sew or how to make things, and then they market and sell their products in the United States. I am a huge supporter of this type of ministry, and it has helped to bring hope to so many people who are in hopeless situations in Jesus' name. It's advancing the kingdom forward in very dark places. So there are a few organizations that I particularly love to support. There's one called Mercy Shop, which is part of Fair Trade Friday, which is a monthly subscription I'm a part of where you get fair trade items every single month in the mail. And I save those up and use them as Christmas gifts. And they also send you some really cool stuff around the holidays that will work very well for gifts. But there are also just a lot of shops you can go to. The Grain of Rice Project has a great shop that I love. And actually, Fair Trade Friday has put together an entire gift buying guide for the holiday season, which I will link to in the show notes, along with coupon codes for all of these fair trade ministries that they partner with, which are all Christian ministries. So that's one idea. Another idea is just to give handmade. I remember when I was a teacher, another teacher every year made turtles, which were amazing. They're these little treats made out of caramel, chocolate, and pecans, I think. And so phenomenal. Everybody raved and loved, raved about and loved her little turtle snacks. And I just think that showed so much love because she spent a lot of time and care making those in mass quantity. And I for one, felt very loved by receiving that gift from her and really respected and appreciated that she did that for so many of the teachers in our building. One last idea is to give gifts in honor of someone. So through organizations like World Vision, you can give a chicken to someone in need in honor of another person. And you get a special little certificate to give the recipient on your Christmas list so that they know that this was done in their honor. And I have actually been the recipient of that gift, a chicken. And that was a lot of fun for me and something I really appreciate and enjoyed. We mentioned Living Water International at the beginning of this podcast. They have something really cool in the form of gift cards that you can buy and give to someone. And then they take the Living Water International gift card and go online and choose the project that they would like to fund with their $10 or $50. They get to watch videos and learn about the different work that Living Water International is doing. So it's a really cool opportunity for them to get involved in a tangible way. But they've also received a gift and been thought of. So it's kind of cool.
I think that's all we have to talk about this week. God, I pray for everybody that is on this podcast and listening right now. First of all, that you would just challenge them, that you would give them a perspective that is heavenly, that is based on you, that you would give them a season of Christmas that is filled not only with joy, but also seeking after you, God. And we just pray as they consider what we talked about today, all of these gifts and all of these ideas, that you would give them truth, that you would speak truth into their lives, that you would give them ideas and be able to bless and express their love for those around them, God. We know that there are people in their lives that they love, and this is just one way that we can show love, and we pray that that is the ultimate goal here, God, that we can show love to one another so that your name can be glorified. That's our ultimate objective, God, and that's what we want for these people. That's what we pray for everyone listening. We thank you, God. We love you. Amen.